Today we have a very, very special event, and I want to invite Bob Simone, the chair of our membership and hospitality committee, to join me up here for our new member ceremony. For those of you visiting us, if you look down here below the flowers, there's an open book. That is our membership book that has the signatures of the people who have joined us as members since the 1960s, I believe. It's a historical document. Somebody's correcting me. Say the precise year. 1954. How about that? How about that? So this is a cherished treasure in this church. And we leave it open. If you have been visiting and your heart is moved today to sign the book, do it. We're good people. You'll have fun. So today we want to celebrate those of you who have made the decision to take on the joy and the responsibility of becoming members of Star King Unitarian Universalist Church. We want to welcome you again and again, and we want our congregation to celebrate you, to welcome you again as one of our members.
And a number of you, I think four of you to be exact, have let me know that you'd like to sign the book today. So I'm going to call you up, and then you can come sign the book. And then everybody else that's become a member during the year, I'll invite up. And I've got a little bit of a background about each of you guys to formally introduce you to the rest of the congregation. And then we'll have cake afterwards to celebrate. And actually, before we do that, there is an insert we'll read once I make the introduction. We'll all formally welcome them. So why don't we start with Ginny, why don't you come up here and sign the book? Maybe we should put the book right up here so it's easier to sign. While she's signing, might be a good time for me to actually make the introduction. So Ginny was born and raised in North Carolina and attended the UU Fellowship of Raleigh as a child. Over the years, she worshiped at several different churches, dreaming at one point of becoming Catholic. She came to Star King seeking community and a spiritual practice that would sustain her through difficult times. Over the past year, she has found a loving community, beautiful music makers, and inspiring words during the services. During the week, she is a program officer at the California Tobacco-Related Disease Research Program, working with California researchers who provide the scientific evidence to reduce the human and economic costs of using tobacco and nicotine, including Juuls. In her spare time, Ginny is a kitty mom, a gardener, a member of a feminist ukulele collective, and a proud member of our church choir.
Welcome again, Ginny.
Thank you.
Ginny, can you stay standing here? Because we're going to take a picture afterwards. Okay, now I'd like to invite up Nathan and Kelly Heigert. Is Kelly in back with your son?
Maybe somebody could go and grab her.
Okay. So you could get started signing, I suppose. It's supposed to enter your address and all that. It takes a little time. So Nathan and Kelly Heigert, who you're going to meet shortly, have lived in Hayward since 2016 and welcomed Oliver to the world in 2017. Nathan comes from Illinois and worshiped at the North Shore Unitarian Church in Deerfield before moving to California. Kelly is from Santa Clara and was introduced to UU when they were married at the UU Church of Berkeley. Both work in design, Nathan as a freelance illustrator, and Kelly as a graphic designer at KQED. They enjoy camping and traveling, beer brewing, and board games in their time off. When they discovered Star King, they thought it would be wonderful to raise Oliver among a community devoted to social justice and compassion for all people. And here's Kelly.
Just sign.
This is where you sign away your firstborn son. No, just kidding. And then I guess while she's finishing that, Justin Ward is also going to sign the book today.
Welcome, Nathan and
Kelly.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Okay, Justin Ward has been a lifelong resident of the Bay Area and has been attending Star King for the past 3 months. In that time, he has uncovered a vast well of inspiration and hope here, and so joins us today. Yay. To sustain himself, he works as an archivist at Stanford University part-time and is a full-time dreamer. In his spare time, he hikes with his teenage son, writes poetry, dances, and generally tries his best to shine. Welcome, Justin.
Thank you.
And I'd like to invite up the other members who have joined during the year who haven't been officially recognized. Claudia McDonough is one of them, and Jim Lewis. So why don't you come on up. I'll read a little bit. I mean, most of you all know these people by now. Jim joined in September. Jim, you may recognize as from his starring role in the Hamilton service we had earlier this year. He is currently a hospice chaplain and former elementary school music teacher from Kansas City, Missouri. He comes to Star King looking for a church home after being in seminary in Berkeley and staff at some local UU churches. When not preparing for his ministerial fellowshipping interview, he sings, plays video games, and participates in other geeky pursuits. And Claudia joined in January of last year, so it's almost been a full year. She grew up in Castro Valley and has been a Unitarian since before she was born. Her parents were married in a beautiful UU church in Madison, Wisconsin in the early 50s. In the 60s, her family used to come to the Hayward UU Church before this building was even built. She's a fifth grade teacher in San Lorenzo. In her free time, she volunteers as a progressive activist, a chapter leader for Citizens Climate Lobby, recording secretary for the Castro Valley Democratic Club, treasurer of her school's PTA, and sustainability advocate in her school district. She truly appreciates the progressive, inclusive, activist, universalist orientation of this church. And her mom, Jackie Black, is in Mexico today, so she couldn't be with us, but she also joined as a member a few weeks after Claudia did. And then there's one more new member who couldn't make it today. I just want to mention his name. Alejandro Diaz de Troutman joined in April, but he's sorry he couldn't make it here today. But so welcome all once again, and let's the whole congregation read along with minister.
Today we welcome into our community these new members who have chosen to make a commitment to this congregation by signing our membership book. New members, we are so glad to have you here with us and that you have chosen this community of fellow seekers to travel with you on your life journeys. Will you accept our gifts of fellowship, discovery, and service? Will you offer us your unique presence and gifts? Will you add your name to the long history of Unitarian Universalist women and men and people who spread hope with our living faith? Will you engage with us as we seek to create a community and a world dedicated to love and justice?
We will.
Awesome. Congregation, Will you welcome these new members with the warmth and comfort of your fellowship? Will you seek to add your strengths and talents to the new gifts they bring to us? Will you share our triumphs and our struggles as our community grows and changes?
We will.
Great. Now, let us say together again the covenant of this church, the promise that we make each week to ourselves and to each other, which holds our community together with common purpose and common love in the midst of our beautiful diversity of belief. Love is the spirit of this church, and service its law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another. Welcome. Welcome, new members. So as I mentioned before, this morning I'm channeling my dear friend Alex Capitan, who graciously agreed to be our virtual pulpit guest this morning. Alex is a trainer, a speaker, a consultant, an editor, and an anti-oppression activist. A transgender and a queer lifelong Unitarian Universalist, Alex grounds radical social justice work in a place of faith and love, and also does interfaith ministry to help queer and trans people connect to religion and spirituality. Alex recently worked for 8 years at the national headquarters of the Unitarian Universalist Association, supporting anti-racism and welcoming congregation programming for congregations and managing large-scale social justice organizing efforts. Alex is currently on the steering committee for Trust, an organization of transgender Unitarian Universalist religious professionals. Welcome, Alex. But before I start reading Alex's words, I want us to take a moment and to think about how we came to be right here in this community. How was our welcoming? In what moment did you feel truly welcomed here? What made a difference? What made it easy to feel like you belonged? What heaviness were you carrying in your heart when you came through the threshold? And was it your experience that you had to give us maybe a second or third chance to be truly welcoming to you? And was there a moment, or maybe more than one, that you felt particularly strengthened, particularly seen and understood, that helped you make some kind of change, some kind of internal transformation that made a difference in your life? Let's hold that in our hearts and minds as we listen to Alex's words. This is from a sermon that Alex delivered at the UU Church in Brookfield, Wisconsin, in January of last year. The Welcoming Congregation Program is a Unitarian Universalist program that congregations can go through to intentionally increase their welcome and inclusion of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer people. The program was started in 1990 after it became shockingly clear that although Unitarian Universalism had a stated commitment as a religion to be in welcoming to LGBTQ people, the experiences of these folks in our congregations were not all that great. It was often hard for people who weren't straight to feel like they truly belonged here in our faith and in our congregations, even if the sign on the lawn said, "All are welcome." We realized that we had to relearn what welcome really means. It didn't just mean putting up a sign. It didn't just mean being friendly. There was something more that was called of us as people of faith. It's time that we revisit once more what welcome means. Okay, so if welcome doesn't just mean opening the doors, being friendly, and literally saying welcome to people when they come in, what does it mean? When congregations go through a welcoming congregation program, they often focus on those people out there. They talk about welcome as if it's something we need to do for them. But here's a secret. Being a welcoming congregation isn't about them. It's about us. It's about what our definition of us is. And it's about what we are willing to do to expand that definition. When we say we, who do we mean? When we say us, who comes to mind? What sort of people are we? And what are the unspoken assumptions about who we are? And more importantly, who we are not? Every community has unspoken answers to these questions and 100 more. Every community has a definition of us and we that dictates the boundaries of the circle of belonging. Somewhere there's a line that gets drawn and we are inside of it. They are not. And what happens is that we communicate our definition of us in 1,000 conscious and unconscious ways. At its best, what the Welcoming Congregation Program challenges us to do is to ask careful questions about where this line is drawn, how we limit the definition of us, and whether those limits serve our vision and our values. It helps us to practice redefining us and drawing the circle of belonging wider, little by little, inch by inch, slowly but surely. The Welcoming Congregation Program makes it a core spiritual practice to ask, where are the boundaries of belonging now? And how can we expand them further? This is a big ask. It's a big deal just to look at where that circle is drawn, and it's even a bigger deal to acknowledge that there is room to grow. And then it's a huge deal to actually work hard to expand the circle and then to keep working, to never stop, to never say, "All right, now we have arrived, we're done." Because being welcoming isn't a destination. It is a daily practice. The point of being a welcoming congregation is not for straight people to understand queer people or for cisgender people to be friendlier to trans people. Those are lovely things, but there is nothing spiritual about that. The point of being a welcoming congregation is to gain the skills as individuals and as a community that help us expand the definition of us just a little bit so that we can keep expanding it by engaging with how to be more welcoming to people of all sexualities and gender identities. We can gain practices that will help us to continue to actively expand our welcome. But simply allowing trans people to exist is not enough for Alex. It doesn't give Alex a sense of unconditional welcome and belonging to the church. Alex says, "Even after my church went through the welcoming congregation program, I never felt that it was a place where I could fully get my spiritual needs met. Why? Alex says, I was raised there. It's my religion. It's my church. Why don't I feel like I fully belong? The reason, Alex says, is that really, it's really beautiful, illustrated by a framework from Reverend Canon Stephanie Spellers, an Episcopal priest. The idea is that there are three types of welcome: invitation, inclusion, and radical welcome. Invitation is represented by the open door. Everyone's welcome. Come on in. Enter, rejoice, and come in. But the expectation is that everyone who comes in will adapt to the existing expectations and norms for who we are and how things are done here. If people can't assimilate, well, they'll eventually leave. Inclusion is represented by the desire for diversity without real culture shift. So efforts are made to include marginalized people, and we might incorporate new projects like an LGBTQ youth prom or a yearly gospel service or a monthly Spanish language potluck. But the larger structures of our community and its norms and expectations remain unchanged, meaning that we sometimes see a sort of revolving door of people with marginalized identities, but they generally don't experience true belonging. Radical welcome or incarnation is so much more. It's what happens when we are willing to be changed by what we've started. Radical welcome is about mutual relationship and the ability to be transformed by those relationships. With radical welcome, we ensure that marginalized perspectives, values, and gifts influence the very core of who we are, that all people who are part of our community see themselves fully reflected, not only in the community itself, but also in our leadership and in the culture we co-create together. Alex says, I can't find a congregational home in Unitarian Universalism because as a young queer and trans person, I need incarnation, radical, transformational welcome. Invitation is being welcomed into a church but not being able to use the bathroom because there's no gender-neutral option. It's hearing a worship leader divide singers into women's parts and men's part instead of just higher and lower voices. It's having people make assumptions about what pronouns they should use for me or what gender my partner is. When these sorts of things happen to me, I'm made invisible. When I come to church, if I feel like I'm not supposed to exist in that space, I'm going to have a really hard time getting my spiritual needs met. Inclusion is being able to at least exist in a church because there's a bathroom I can use, and efforts have been made to use language that doesn't divide everyone up into ladies and gentlemen or brothers and sisters. But maybe I'm the only person like me. Maybe the leaders of the church are unwilling to use the word queer because they're afraid it might offend some of the church members. With inclusion, I'm reminded every Sunday that I'm different and that being different means I really don't quite fit in. So I can come to church, but I can never completely feel like I really belong, and I certainly can't feel like I can bring my chosen family to church with me. My partner who is queer and trans and also disabled and working class. My sister and her Nicaraguan husband and multilingual children. My best friend who is queer and trans and black and southern and really loves Jesus. Incarnation, or radical welcome, is a church that says, Alex, what does queer and trans Unitarian Universalism look like? If you were a leader here, what would you do differently? What is your biggest, brightest hope for spiritual community, and how can we make it happen together? Radical welcome constantly asks who is on the margins and relocates those experiences to the center instead. Radical welcome is a church where I don't just feel accepted, but I feel valued, not despite my differences, but because of them. A lot of you listening right now are probably thinking, but we are willing to take risks. We are doing the best we can. We are willing to change our worship services. We have gender-neutral bathrooms. Is Alex preaching to the wrong choir? For Alex, being young and queer and trans doesn't just mean having particular needs around gender and sexuality. It means so much more. It means that their cultural context is different from the culture of the average UU church. Being queer and trans affects everything for Alex. Their understanding of family, their relationship to social justice, the ways Alex builds community, their sense of spirituality, and their spiritual needs. Alex says, in order for me to feel radical welcome, in order for me to feel home in a church, even the church of my birth, that church must be willing to be changed, to be transformed. The caterpillar can't become a butterfly without terrifying transformation, and the spiritual community cannot meet the needs of each other, much less our world, without being willing to be changed by what we've started. Practicing radical transformational welcome requires us to deeply understand where we've drawn the limits of our circle of belonging, get to know each other more deeply, and allow the differences we each bring to challenge and stretch our assumptions about who we are, and then transform the way we do things in order to move those margins to the center. If you hear nothing else I say this morning, hear this. Welcoming isn't something that you are. It's something that you do. It's something we have to practice every single day with every breath. Practice means making mistakes, getting messy, being vulnerable, taking risks, trying new uncomfortable things, and getting them wrong, and trying again and again. Because our world needs us too, because we need each other too. So what can you do to question the messages that you've been given about who we are? What is the next way you can expand the circle of inclusion and belonging right here in this congregation? What piece of you do you keep quiet about here because you feel like it doesn't really quite fit? What can you do to learn and share more about the other differences that already exist here but have stayed hidden beneath expectations about who's here and who's not? Beloveds, we are all called as Unitarian Universalists to be more than simply friendly and good people. We are called to practice welcome and to take that practice out into the world. But it begins here in our hearts and in this community. So thank you for being willing to join us in this practice, because it is truly one of the most holy, life-changing, and world-changing things that we can do together. Amen. Ashe, and blessed be.